Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Dorenda Wilson Podcast. I'm Dorenda, wife to one, mom to eight, nana to 11, and 30-year veteran homeschooling mom. I'm also the author of four books, The Unhurried Homeschooler, The 4-Hour School Day, Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart, and my most recent release, Raising Boys to Men, a simple, mercifully short book on raising and homeschooling boys. You can find all four of those books on Amazon, and you can find the audiobooks for Raising Boys to Men and The Unhurried Homeschooler on my website exclusively. So dorendawilson.com/audiobooks. I'll leave a link in the show notes. I'm so thankful that all of you are here today. We're going to be talking about remaining faithful in the midst of trials. And boy, I tell you, I know so many people who are walking through fiery trials right now, and our family is also walking through a trial right now. And so I'm really excited to be able to share with you some of the things that God has laid on my heart today. But I first just want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for making time to listen. I know that you have a lot of other things you could be doing, a lot of other voices that you could be listening to. And I count it a privilege to be able to speak into your life and pray that God's truth will just be, will overflow through each and every one of these episodes. You know, because of your faithful listening, we have reached over 3 million downloads. We have over 500 episodes. And, you know, maybe you've missed some great episodes from 2 or 3 or 4 years back. I would encourage you to go to the podcast page of my website. There is a search bar at the top of the list of episodes where you can put in keywords in order to pull up episodes that you actually really need to listen to right now. So the things that are of concern to you, the things that you need encouragement in, I'll leave that link in the show notes as well. It is the middle of homeschool conference season, and I am hoping that I'll get to meet some of you. I'll leave a link in the show notes to some of the places that I'm going to, well, to all of the places that I'm going to be during the conference season. Now, I know many of you have teens, so I want you to be sure to listen after the prayer at the end of this episode to hear about an opportunity that you will not want to miss. I also want to share with you one of my favorite resources. It's Heritage Defense. You know that we live in love and not fear, but the possibility of being falsely reported to CPS is a real cause for concern, especially in light of unexpected situations like what happened to my family. I'll leave a link in the show notes to that story as well. But what if there's a situation with potential risk that hasn't yet materialized? Is there a law that you're concerned about that you'd like to understand better? You may not need legal representation, but legal advice could be extremely useful. Christian homeschool families can experience this peace of mind by joining Heritage Defense. Members can schedule free consultations with Heritage Defense attorneys to receive expert advice in these complicated situations. Find out more to apply for membership at heritagedefense.org in the show notes. All right, so I mentioned that I'm going to be talking about trials. Maybe some of you caught a little bit of what I'm actually going to say today on stories on Instagram. I shared just briefly a few little things, but I really felt like I needed to expound on what I shared there here in the podcast, because there's just so much the Lord has been just pouring into my heart. And I know that we're all on this journey of becoming wise women of God. And so I really believe that as a mentoring mom, that it's my duty and my privilege to share with you not only what I've learned, but what I am currently learning. And so that's what this episode is about today. Before I dive into the topic, I want to make sure that you know about CTC Math. You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time, but maybe you haven't tried it out yet. CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. You can start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. All right, so today's topic is remaining faithful in the midst of trials. And what I find interesting about trials is that, I don't know about you, but I try to wiggle out of them. They're uncomfortable. The very name speaks loudly that they're not something that is comfortable, but uncomfortable. And we love comfort as human beings, but discomfort is where God often does his best and deepest work. And so while we fight with that temptation to be looking for comfort, God says when it comes to trials that we are really to count it all joy because he's doing something great in our lives through it. But that doesn't mean that we can't be looking for comfort. It's where are we going to look for that comfort? Because sometimes what we end up doing, what we can do by default, is be so desperate for comfort that we are settling for comfort rather than true peace. And you can't have true comfort without having true peace. And that's where we want to go today with this explanation, this topic of remaining faithful in the midst of trials. So I can tell you that I know a vast amount of people, I think more than ever before, who are facing all kinds of trials. Some are bigger than others. It's pretty astounding. You know, I've been a Christian for many, many years, and the level of trials and afflictions that people are going through is more than I've ever seen before. And yet it makes me step back and wonder, God, what are you doing? I honestly believe God is doing a purifying work in the body of Christ right now. And as we are all facing trials, we can comfort one another with the comfort that we receive from the Lord. And so today, I want to start by reminding myself and you that although some trials can seem bigger than others and they are uncomfortable, not one of them is beyond God's control. And this is so important to remember. I've shared this before that the anchors that I go back to every time I'm going through trials is to go back to God's sovereignty and his goodness, that God is absolutely, completely in control. And that would not actually be good news if he weren't perfectly good. And so we know that God is sovereign and we know that he is good. I'm going to leave a link in the show notes to an episode on the sovereignty of God, because I think if it's something you struggle with and don't really have a biblical perspective on, I would encourage you to go and listen to that. But what helped me see years ago God's sovereignty more clearly is when I heard an older, wiser, believing mom say this: nothing touches us that doesn't pass through his loving hands first. So in that one sentence, you see and hear the sovereignty of God and the love of God. Now, our family is walking through a trial right now, and I want to share with you kind of what's gone on in my heart during this time, and you might be able to relate to it. But I had no trouble believing that God is sovereign in this trial, but I was struggling with the truth that he is good. I mean, struggling. Scripture says that he does all things well. And I would say the words out loud. I would say, we know that he is good, that he does all things well. And I would feel like a hypocrite because my emotions were not there yet. My mind knew it was true, but my heart was not there yet. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't be proclaiming what is true. I was struggling with reconciling that truth with how I was feeling, but it didn't change the fact that it is still true. My feelings do not negate the truth of Scripture or who God is. This is something that is very challenging to believe. We live in a culture, because we live in a culture that is emotion-driven. Emotion is king. Emotion is on the throne. And that often unknowingly informs us about how we see our circumstances. And what needs to inform us is the word of God and what is actually true. So I struggled for days with this. But again, remembering my feelings did not negate the truth of Scripture or who God is. Moms, what I was struggling with was the sin of unbelief, not believing that God is in fact good. And I needed to repent of that. And you know, I know that sounds like, oh man, that's a heavy on top of the heavy, but it was actually really freeing. And here's why. In order to see and be thankful for and embrace the good news, we have to see and understand the bad news. And so I was reading in my devotional about how in Psalm 51, David talks about the nature of sin and the many ways we violate God's law. One of those terms is iniquity, which focuses on the pollution of our entire human nature rather than one's actions. So you see the difference there. There's this pre-existing flow of our sinful nature that is there, just there all the time. It's just present as opposed to sinful actions. Okay, so kind of two different forms of iniquity. And David is saying, not only have I sinned this once, but I am in my very nature a sinner. I naturally lean toward forbidden things. Mine is what is called a constitutional disease. So in other words, and this is an established fact or condition. This is part of being a sinner that lives in a sinful world. However, we know that's not the end of the story. But we have to understand, and we have to see that and embrace that and know this, because it's natural for our sinful nature to be the first and loudest source to inform our thinking, especially when we're going through trials. And we have to know this in order to approach our trials in a biblical way. And again, that might sound like more bad news, but it isn't, because the story doesn't end there. When we acknowledge the truth, no matter how we feel, we declare that Jesus is Lord over our lives and that we trust in his redemptive work. It's like living out the gospel repeatedly, right? We get saved. The gospel is about an unbeliever becoming a believer, but it is also about a believer going through that sanctification process. So we're daily living out the gospel repeatedly. And so that is not something we can do without humility, without understanding our position, without understanding our need for Christ. And so when we're in the midst of a trial, we all have different responses to that kind of visceral, knee-jerk responses. And I have noticed that for me, I distance myself from the Lord. I have a hard time talking to him. I have a hard time pouring my heart out to him because I struggle with believing that he's good. And so I'm just being honest with you, moms. I don't think it's an uncommon struggle, but I'm being real with you. This is a struggle for me when you get bad news or very unexpected news that makes the future look unknown. It's you're sitting there and you have no idea where this is going. Okay, I've been there several times, like when we lost our first grandson to stillbirth. You know, this is life, moms. This happens in life. We can't dodge these things. We can't escape these things. So let's just dig in and let's, even if you're not walking through a heavy trial right now, whether you are or you aren't, let's dig in and embrace the truth of God's word and the truth of our condition, the truth of who God is. So we understand our condition is a needy, helpless condition, right? it requires humility to be able to admit that. And when we're humble and we come before the Lord, what does he say? He says, a broken and contrite heart, he will not send away. A bruised reed, he will not break. So God is very, very welcoming, very loving. He doesn't look at us and say, oh, you are pathetic. You know, just pull it together, Dorinda. Gosh, for goodness sakes, you've been a Christian your whole life and you're already, you're already just buckling under, you know, this trial. These are the things that kind of go through my head, sort of not the words, but just the feelings. And so maybe you can relate to that. But my point is, I needed to face that. I needed to face that there's always this place of this part of me, the sinful part of me, that's going to want to be the first to inform me on what's true about my circumstances. And I cannot allow that to happen. And it literally took me days to come out of that. And so I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But my point is, we have to embrace the bad, quote unquote, bad news before we can really fully appreciate and be thankful for the good news. So a good place to start when we're in the midst of trials and we want to remain faithful is to ask God to reveal our own hearts to us so we can repent of any sin that we may not be aware of. And why is that important? It's important so that we have a clear conscience. Because what can happen is if we have unconfessed sin just sitting there sort of ruminating, that gives the enemy an opportunity to grab onto that and to put us under all kinds of condemnation and mix it up with the difficult circumstances that we're in. And what we need is a clear conscience. So my sin was unbelief, so I confessed that sin and I asked God to help my unbelief. You know, in the New Testament, there's a man who was asking Jesus to heal his daughter and he said, I'll heal your daughter if you believe. And he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So what he was saying is, I have a seed of faith. I have a seed of belief. Will you please just grow that seed? And so when I do that, when I feel like I'm struggling with unbelief, God, I believe, help my unbelief. Now, I didn't grow up in a church where confession was really ever even mentioned, except when an unbeliever came to Christ. And I'm not talking about confessing to a priest. I'm talking about making confession a daily part of our prayer life. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We have to practice having God's word and the Holy Spirit inform our thinking day in and day out, year in, year out, for years and years and years. And we are transformed in that process. But it requires us to daily acknowledge that we're a sinner and there's ways we've sinned that we don't even know. David said, and I pray this prayer every morning, Lord, please forgive my hidden sins and keep me also from deliberate sins that they wouldn't rule over me. And so that's my prayer every day. And I pray that God would help me when there's sin, that he would reveal it to me, that I would confess it quickly. And again, when we confess our sin, we confess our victory. When we confess our sin, we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're living out the gospel. And so confession should be part of our daily time with the Lord. The beauty of the gospel is that God doesn't love us. God's love for us doesn't change because we're struggling. He's very present and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And so we need to be reminded of that as we're asking him to reveal our hearts, because I want to caution against what I would call morbid introspection. So when we ask God to reveal our hearts to us, sometimes we go on the hunt ourselves. Rather than letting God bring it to us, we go on the hunt trying to find something, and that will take us down a road of condemnation. So do not get caught up in morbid introspection. God is faithful. If you ask him to reveal things, he will reveal them, and he'll reveal them in a time and a way that it will not feel like condemnation. It will just be conviction, and it will feel good to get it confessed and gone. He removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. So again, back to that question, who is informing our perspective on our circumstances, specifically on our trials? You know, so much of this, as we're asking ourselves these questions, it can feel like a lot of thinking, which can seem like really hard work when we're overwhelmed. So one thing, I did find myself overwhelmed a lot over the last several days in my efforts to try to yield to the Lord. And really, I wanted to find peace, and I just was struggling to find it. But one practice that has been very, very helpful to me in helping me get to that place where I can process a little bit better the Word of God and apply it to my circumstances is just to be quiet and still before the Lord. I would be out on my walks we live out in the country, and so out on my walks by myself in nature, and just repeatedly say, Lord, I'm going to be still and know that you are God. I know that you are God. I know that you are God. I can be still and know that you are God. Repeatedly on loop until my emotions were yielding to that truth. So that can be an important part of the process, but I never want to underestimate the value of the fact that we are called to worship with our intellect. Romans 12:2 says, it calls us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, we don't just not do the hard work because, oh my gosh, this is too much work. We need to be thinking people. So sometimes doing something can help us with that. And so as I was praying and asking the Lord to just to give me something that would anchor me, something that would help me, help my mind be renewed in this particular situation. And he reminded me of four things to be looking for and praying for. So what I did was I took these four things and I looked up scriptures for each one of them. And then I could use that as part of my prayer time over the thing that I'm praying for, over the trial that I have. Okay, and the four things were God's provision, his protection, his power, and his presence. And so I'm just going to share a verse. I have several verses for each of those. And so it would look something like this. Lord, help me to see your provision. Psalm 107:9 says, God, that you satisfy the thirsty and you fill the hungry with good things. God, I am hungry and I need you to fill me with good things. Protection. Proverbs 19:21. So we're saying, Lord, I need your protection. And also we're praying that he would give us eyes to see where he is protecting us in those circumstances, and where he is providing. So Proverbs 19:21, Lord, it says that many plans are in a man's heart, but it's your counsel that will stand. God, help us not to be wise in our own eyes. Lord, we make our plans, but we know that your counsel is going to stand. Help us to yield to that counsel. Do you see how that works? You're taking the scripture and you're applying it to your particular situation. And then we're asking for God to show us where his power is, and also just to stop and ask, where have I seen his power? Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So we can pray, God, help me not to be fearful because you are with me. Help me not to be dismayed because you are my God. You will strengthen me. You will help me. You will uphold me with your righteous right hand. And then his presence, Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you to the end of the age. And so we pray, Lord, thank you that you are with us forever. You never leave us nor forsake us. Father, help me to observe and to take in all that you have commanded me. What is required of me, Lord, show me what that is. And Lord, let me know your presence in this situation. So moms, what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy and paste this whole thing. I have several, about six verses for each, maybe more, for each of these categories of his provision, his protection, his power, and his presence. And I'm going to put those in the show notes to make it easy for you to have access to those, to be praying those over your particular circumstances. So we have this ever-present sinful nature that's always there. And so we have to understand that there's going to be conflict. We're still dealing with our sinful nature, but God is using our trials to make us more like Him. It's an opportunity to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him. To deny ourselves can simply be being in the discomfort and understanding that He has allowed it. I was able, as I was praying over our current situation, I was just able to say, Lord, thank you for this affliction. Thank you for this trial, because you are going to do great things in it. You're already doing great things in it, things that I can't even see. Moms, did I fully 100% feel that every minute I was praying that? No, but it's still true. It's absolutely true. We can give thanks. And you know, I was kind of feeling under some condemnation because it was day after day after day of this battle. And I felt like I was failing. And all of a sudden it was like, I don't remember what the Lord used, but it was like the Lord said to me, Dorinda, the fact that you're struggling is evidence of your salvation. It's evidence that you belong to me. It's evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work, that you can say these things even though you're not feeling them, is evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Moms, what a relief that was. It made me realize that it isn't all on me. My job is just to do the next obedient thing and trust Him for the rest. That is all He calls us to. Nothing more, nothing less, but it requires a deep trust in His sovereignty and His goodness. It's almost impossible to pour our hearts out to a God we do not believe is good. And so if that's something you're struggling with, I want to just address that real quickly, because that lie was the original lie in the garden that the enemy said to Eve. This is how he deceived her. It would call it like the original sin. And here's the scripture. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of the fruit, or you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. So there it is, moms. Satan says, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like him, knowing good and evil. What is that saying? It's saying that God does not have your best interest in mind. God only cares about himself. God is miserly. God does not want to pour out abundance upon you. He wants to take from you, not give to you. He's a God of miserliness, not a God of abundance. And you hear all the lies in there. These are the same lies that the enemy tells us. They're just dressed up differently. They're exclusively custom dressed for our particular circumstances to make them as tempting as possible. So we do not want to be guilty of that, of falling into that same sin. I want to share with you the converse of Genesis 3:6. So I'll read 3:6 again. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 8 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And then it goes on to say, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will be health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Do you hear that warning in there? Fear the Lord. That means acknowledge him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and do not allow other things to take a position, either things or people or circumstances, to take a position in your heart that does not belong to them. Okay, so we do not want to be wise in our own eyes. We want to fear the Lord. We want to shun evil. What is evil? Evil is trying to be like God. Evil is thinking that we know better than God. We want to stay away from that. So fear the Lord, shun evil. This will be health to your body and nourishment to your bones. That was especially, I think that verse is especially applicable if you're dealing with a physical affliction that's going on. So keep that one, tuck that one in your hat. Also, Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, peace might come right away. It might take hours or days or weeks, but be assured if you continue to pour out your heart to the Lord and let God's word inform you, it will come. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. We have Jesus living in us. And the overcomer lives within us. Does it mean it's not going to be a struggle? No. Does it mean it's not going to be hard? Nope. But Jesus promises to carry the heaviest part of the load. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So, you know, without, and previous to that, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He's saying he's willing and able to carry the heaviest part of the load. So again, who's informing our perspective? We need to meditate on his word, speak it out loud, even if we don't feel it. Moms, we have to remember that this moment, if we look at the, if we take a step back and we look in the scope of all of history and the scope of eternity, where we are right now is a speck on that span. And so if we can take a step back and understand that God is doing something for good, not just now, but for eternity. So when our circumstances feel overwhelming, we can remember that as we step back. And the thing that I have found actually turned out to be a blessing. I didn't see it as a blessing, but every morning I was waking up anxious. And finally, it was like the Lord said to me, Dorinda, have you ever thought that that is a blessing? To wake up and be instantly reminded of your deep need for me so that you don't get distracted or diverted from what I have for you. So moms, think about this. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 17 and 18 really kind of sum this up beautifully. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Moms, God is doing a work, and often we can't see all that he's doing. And so if we can just speak that out loud, Lord, thank you for this affliction and that you are doing a work that I can't see right now, but I trust that you are doing something eternal, and that even as painful as this is. Now, this scripture isn't undermining the pain and suffering of this world. It's saying by comparison, in contrast to this eternal weight of glory that we're going to experience, it is nothing. It truly is a light and momentary affliction, which tells you how wonderful this weight of glory is going to be. So we need to, I often ask God to give me eyes to see things that I can't, how do I put this? See things the way he does. Give me just a little glimpse into what you might be doing. And he has been so faithful to do that, to give me that encouragement along the way in order to remain faithful in the midst of trials. I love what St. Augustine says, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Now, this week, there were so many days, or the last several, almost 2 weeks, I did not feel like I was making progress. I told you before, every day I woke up feeling anxious and with this constant heaviness. And one of the things that the Lord reminded me of was Ephesians 6, verse 11 to 13. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And this is where it was, Mom. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Other translations have said, after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. And what God was revealing to me there and illuminating to me was the fact that it doesn't matter if I'm making progress. It matters right now. The best thing I can do, if all I can do is stand firm, that is enough. Standing firm counts. I don't have to be making progress. Standing firm is progress because I'm not regressing or going backwards in spite of my circumstances. By standing firm, I am remaining faithful in the midst of trials. I'm going to read to you from James. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And then it goes on to say, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So remaining faithful means to count it all joy that we are facing trials right now, that God, but they have passed through his loving hands first. We can count it joy because we know that the testing of our faith will produce strength and steadfastness. And we want that steadfastness, like it says here, to have its full effect so that we can be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And if we feel that we lack wisdom, we ask God and he gives it generously, but we must believe and not doubt, or we're going to be blown all over the place and become incredibly stable. You know, I mentioned before that we tend to seek comfort over peace, but we can't have true comfort without God's peace. And that peace, you know, like I said, can only come from God, because the scripture says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. I had a wise older woman tell me once, "If only he can comfort us, we are rich indeed." So my encouragement to you on how to remain faithful during the trials is to, number one, ask God to show you your own heart and be quick to confess anything that he reveals. Okay. Number two, be discerning in who you share your struggles with and how you share them. That is really important. I tried to track it down, but I couldn't find it. But I know that there's a psalm where David talks about how he was tempted to say all the things that he was feeling that were really full of unbelief. Okay. But he did not open his mouth. And later on, when he saw the faithfulness of God, he was thankful that he did not sin by opening his mouth, because had he done that, the people around him would have been, he would have discouraged the other believers around him, the other people of God. And also, what kind of testimony is it to those who don't know God? So we need to be discerning in who we share our struggles with and how we share them, okay? There are just some places, moms, that only God can go with us. But again, if only he can comfort us, we are rich indeed. So number one, confess. Number two, be discerning in who you share your struggles with and how you share them. And number three, take time to meditate on the truths of God's word. Speak them out loud. Speak them to others. Sing them. Driving in the car, doing tasks like folding laundry, doing dishes. Use every opportunity to practice yielding yourself to God, knowing that he is sovereign and he is good and that nothing touches you that doesn't pass through his loving hands first. Trusting that he is who he says he is and that he is working on your behalf, whether you can see it or not. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your kindness and goodness to us. Lord, I pray for every mom walking through trials. God, that everything that was said here, out of everything that was said here, you would illuminate and remind her of the things that you have for her, that you want her to know and believe and hear and see and embrace, Lord, and walk out in faith. So I pray for every mom who's walking through trials right now. I pray your blessing. I pray for your protection, your provision, your presence, and your power to be at work in their lives, Lord, and give them eyes to see where that's happening. We pray all these things and we trust you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before y'all take off, I want to remind you about the Excel Summer Leadership Camp. Christine from Colorado shared with us about her son Ben's time there at the Leadership Camp. She said Ben's experience at the Summer Leadership Camp took him to another level of maturity and confidence in himself, which he didn't realize he had. If he could have, he would have stayed in North Carolina to glean all there is to glean from the leaders at camp and within the college. 10 out of 10 would recommend. As parents, we look forward to the day that our teens see themselves as the leaders they truly are in Christ. Sometimes it takes stepping out of their comfort zone for them to realize who they are. That's why my friends at the Excel College are hosting a summer leadership camp for teens ages 16 to 19, where they will learn to discover God's truth, discern wisely, and live wholeheartedly. Ready to see your teen grow and thrive? Apply now at theexcelcamp.org. Select Dorinda Wilson for $100 off the camp. All right, moms, thanks for being here. Have a great day.